Every morning, a veteran in a small Wyoming town raises the flag outside his home. He's done it for years, part of a routine that reminds him he still matters. When his wife passed away, the flag stopped flying for a while. But one day, a young ranch hand asked if he could help. That moment, that connection, gave him purpose again. Sometimes we just need someone to reach out. A neighbor, a friend, a reminder that we're not alone. If life feels heavy, or you're worried about someone who's pulled away, call or text 988. 24 hours a day, someone will listen. Someone will care. Wyoming takes care of its own. Hope lives here. A message from Wyoming Health Fairs, with support from the McMurray Foundation, Natrona Collective Health Trust, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, working together to make sure no Wyoming neighbor faces their darkest moments alone.
Heard the news? Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit and a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights, yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan, Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great, a fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, July 8th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist Christina Schmidt and Fisheries Supervisor Stephen Siddons. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Floyd. Looking forward to it.
Now, one thing that I do want to touch on, it's rodeo week, and everybody likes to take advantage of it, get out there, have some fun. So, just a quick announcement. The Sheridan office will close early for the YO Rodeo. What do people need to know before they stop by, Christina?
So we've done this actually for several years now, closed at noon on that Friday of Rodeo Week. So anyone who has business, that, like if you need to come into the office for business, make sure you come in before noon, because we will close at noon and then open up for regular hours starting on Monday, regular time, 8 a.m., there's still a lot of things you can do online or at another licensed selling agent in town. So if you need that, purchase a license, things like that, some of that you can do online, some you can go to another licensed selling agent. One thing we do like to remind folks, though, the watercraft inspection stations, the AIS stations, so that is still going to be open across the street. So that stays open. And it will have its regular hours, which should be 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. So folks can still go get their inspection. And, of course, anyone traveling will have to pull over and get an inspection. One thing we do see some confusion with is AIS decals. People can still confuse a lot of the inspection and the decals and that kind of thing. So, Reed was here in the spring explaining a lot about the inspection process, and the decals are required for most watercraft. You can go online and see. There's just very few exemptions, but a lot of people need that and think they can get it at the inspection station, but we do not sell those there. So if you know that's something you need, certainly come in this week yet before we close at noon. You can also purchase those online and carry the receipt with you.
Okay, fantastic. So if I don't have the decal, the receipt of the purchase of the decal will help me out.
Yes, because what they'll do is mail the actual stickers to you. But if you have that receipt in hand for a few days, they'll see that it's in transit.
Kind of like that sticker we put on the back of the car before you get your license plate, right? I mean, it counts.
Temporary.
We're
yes,
just waiting on it.
It is temporary.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go, folks. Make sure you get all of that done. Or you've got that receipt in hand prior to noon Friday.
Correct.
All right. Now, something that you and I talk about a lot, maybe some people out there may be thinking, wow, they talk about this too much. But the fact of the matter is, bears have been active this year. Not sure why, but they're pretty dang active.
Correct. Yes, we have received many calls. So first, I want to thank the public for calling us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a lot of times we unfortunately hear things through the grapevine about, you know, people will take pictures and put it on social media, or a friend of a friend will say, oh, so-and-so had an issue at their house. So we're really trying to get the public to call us as soon as there is an issue. So, you know, if there is some sort of conflict, we can have personnel come out, help you get your place secured, help address the issue before it becomes a bigger problem. So certainly thank you to the public for being willing to call and report those as soon as possible. And like I said, we do have personnel that'll come out, look at your property, you know, see what has happened, see if there's any attractants that can be secured better. And then there, you know, maybe are some management options that they can talk through with you. So if you think you have a bear, give a call. We'd like to know about it and address it as quick as possible. So, but on that note, of course, securing attractants, and attractants is kind of this general word, but anything a bear might want to investigate.
Think like a bear.
Think
folks.
Like a bear.
Think like a bear.
Yeah. So garbage is a big one. That's just one we see a lot of because, I mean, garbage is stinky. And if you have your sitting out, especially in this heat, if it's sitting out for a week, you know, waiting for pickup day, that's going to be pretty attractive to a bear. So we do see, unfortunately, a lot of that. Please just keep that inside a hard side. You know, keep it in your garage, keep it in a shed, something like that where it's unavailable to bears. Bird feeders are a big one. Hang those up where bears can't get them. That's, you know, those bird seed is pretty attractive to bears. Barbecue grills that still have bits of meat, again, that's going to have a smell that's going to attract them.
We went camping, cooked in our little cast iron skillet, and we would take that skillet, wrap it in plastic, and put it in the back of the car every night.
Absolutely, yes. So yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. So there's two things. So there's people living in bear country, which is almost all of us in Sheridan County, Johnson County, you know, there's the potential for a bear. But then also, if you're going up to the mountain, a whole different set of, actions you should take to prevent a conflict. So I would highly suggest folks go to our BearWise page.
Yep.
On our website. It's under Wyoming Wildlife, and it should come right up with BearWise. And there's several sections to that website. So there's, you know, living in bear country and what you should do. Camping in bear country, what you should do. Hunting and fishing in bear country, what should you do? What to do in an encounter? There's video of bear spray and how it works. And so just a lot of real helpful information. But certainly, whether you live here, recreate here, bears are something you should be thinking about and try to prevent conflicts.
So you heard it here, folks. If you even think you've got a bear, maybe you think it's bear scat in the yard, but you're not totally sure, call the Game and Fish. They don't mind coming up. You're not bothering them. They like to do this kind of stuff. Come up, have a conversation with you, get to know your property, look around, make sure that there's nothing that the bears will actually get to should they come on the property. And if you do think or you do see a bear, please call the Wyoming Game and Fish and they will respond. It's better to take care of these problems earlier rather than later. Okay. Leftover licenses, something that some of my friends have always kind of kept an eye on. Now, the results were released today?
Yeah, so they were scheduled to come out this morning. So we talked about this last month. This is the leftover draw from the initial draw. So this is the leftover draw. Results should come out, and then beginning July 16th, everything left over from this leftover draw, as well as general over-the-counter licenses, will go on sale the 16th. And you will be able to see a list of statewide leftover licenses when you go to our homepage. I believe under apply or buy, or there's the license link, you should be able to get to a list, and you can look at what's left over throughout the state for all species. And that's updated in real time, which is really handy. So these are all being sold across the state. And so as they're sold, those are being taken off of that database. So you should be able to see in real time, like we talked about last month. A caution with some of these, just do a little research, look pretty closely at the hunt area, the license type, what kind of limitations there are on that. A lot of them are either private land only. They might actually be designated for use only on private land, or in an area where public access is pretty difficult. So do a little research. Our hunt planner will help you do that. There definitely are opportunities. Just do some homework before you pick up one of those licenses and make sure you have somewhere to go and use that license.
Okay. Accessibility. That's the name of the game. Now, for those who do not know, you and I talk about HMAs, hunter management areas. What is that? And how is it different than a walk-in?
They're both part of our Access Yes program. So walk-in areas are just like what they sound. So these are pieces of private land that the Game and Fish works with the private landowner. And you can find these areas on our website. They're areas you do not need to get permission for prior to going into. You're able to just walk in. Each area has its own list of rules. What species can be hunted within the open dates. Landowners, they have a lot of flexibility in this program, which is great. So within an open hunt season, they may say, well, I want these 2 weeks that are available and only these species, and people need to park here and walk in. So every spot is going to have some pretty specific information, and all of that's listed on our website. So that's a walk-in area. You do the research before you go, make sure that you can and will abide by the regulations for that specific area. Hunter management areas are different. Again, still part of the Access Yes program, still generally tracts of private land. They tend to be larger. They tend to have higher traffic volume. So just to kind of control some traffic flow, there are permission slips. So these are free, but you do have to apply for them. And again, each area is going to be very specific. So go and do some research on what species is allowed, what dates they may limit. You know, some of them may say archery only. Some may say, again, you need to park here and walk in here, or this road might be open and you can go to here. They're all very specific. So please read those. That's how we keep this access. People reading, knowing, following all of those regulations. So, but they're great opportunities, and these are really popular. So permission slips, July 21st. So if you go to our website, you can read all about these and the application process under public access tab. So if you hover over that public access tab, it'll bring up several different web links, and one of them is hunter management areas. So there's an interactive map. You can go on and look across the state. If you click on one of them specifically, that's where you're going to get all of those details that you want.
Okay. And how to apply.
Okay. So fantastic. There's a few things you need. You know, of course, you need to have a license for that area. You need to have the dates in mind that you want to go. You need to have a description of your vehicle, because you'll get a printed permission slip to put in the vehicle. So just, and this will walk you through it and tell you everything you need before you apply. So go ahead, take a look now if it's something you want to apply for. Some places are pretty popular, and those permission slips go pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Do the research now. get ready, gather up everything you need. Of course, if you have any questions, give a call.
All right. Fantastic. There you go, folks. There's your opportunity. If we've got some people maybe even moving into the area and they haven't applied yet, it's out there. Got to do a little bit more homework. But if you get that elk or you get that deer, it'll be worth it in the end. I'm going to have more with our Wyoming Game and Fish in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Sheridan Wild Rodeo, one of the biggest events in Sheridan.
Time for family, friends, and visitors from all over the world to come home.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend a big welcome home to everyone.
First Federal is a trusted local bank committed to our community, sponsoring the nightly Indian Relay races and helping bring you live coverage of the Friday morning live stream and broadcast on SheridanMedia.com. So welcome home from the First Federal Bank and Trust family, a true community bank member FDIC.
In Wyoming, the weather doesn't ask for permission. One day it's sunshine, the next it's 37 degrees and sleeting. That's why homeowners call Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors. From residential shingles to standing seam metal roofing and full commercial systems, they're built for the Wyoming weather. And when storms hit, we help guide you through the insurance process from start to finish. Call today for your free inspection or visit Branded307.com. Branded 307 Roofing and Exteriors, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Want to know what's going on Rodeo Week? Well, check out SheridanMedia.com and go to the Everything Rodeo page presented by Range. You'll see a schedule of activities for the week, entertainment, video interviews, photo galleries, as well as pictures and videos from last year. Keep going back because we'll be adding more pictures, videos, and activities every day. So when you want to know what's happening Rodeo Week, go to the Everything Rodeo page on SheridanMedia.com presented by Range. Live your West life, official technology sponsor of the Sheridan Wild Rodeo.
Erie Sheridan community, the countdown begins. The Tournament of Knights rides into the Sheridan County Fairgrounds on July 25th. Experience thrilling jousting, daring knights, live entertainment, tasty fare, and fun for the whole kingdom. Gather your family and join the adventure of the summer. This is CHAPS' major fundraiser, and tickets are on sale now on the CHAPS website. Don't miss the Tournament of Knights where legends come to life.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're sitting with Wyoming Game and Fish Department Public Information Specialist, Christina Schmidt, and Fisheries Supervisor, Steven Siddons. Now, the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission is going to be meeting right here in Sheridan. Christina, what's the purpose of this particular commission meeting?
So the commission meets several times a year, and they do try to rotate in different parts of the state to give different parts of the public the opportunity to come to a meeting. So, yes, next week here in Sheridan at the Ramada, Tuesday and Wednesday. And I would encourage folks, there's a lot on the agenda, as there always is. So I would encourage folks to go take a look. That's published now. So the easiest way to find this, we just sent out a press release. If you go to our website under news and events, there will be an article about the commission meeting. And in there is a link to the agenda. So folks can look and see during the course of the day what's going to be discussed. There will be several chapters open, regulation chapters that will be discussed that the commission will be voting on, and some policy revisions, so more business type things. But there's also the opportunity for some neat things the public might like. So there'll be like an overview of the hatchery system, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Someone will be giving, and Stephen might know more, a presentation on genetic study of cutthroats over in the Snake River. So there's some kind of neat presentations too. So I would encourage folks to go take a look at the agenda, see what you like, that you might want to come and attend. Of course, the public is welcome and encouraged to come. You do have the opportunity to speak to the commission. A couple different options. There's always a Zoom option. So for folks who are further away, they do want to speak on a topic but can't be drive present, here, yeah. Can't be present, there's always a Zoom option. You just need to sign up for that early. And again, that's on the website. You have the option to do that. Or if you come to the meeting, some of us will be welcoming folks as they come in, asking if they want to make comments on any of the items being discussed. And we just write down, okay, you know, this person would like to talk about this issue. We provide that to the commission. So when they get to that agenda item, they'll call folks up to come and make a comment. So, it's a great opportunity to interact with the commission, speak about not only any of the topics they're addressing specifically, but at the end of the day, there's always a call to the public and you can come.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So for
both
days.
Where they just kind of give you an open forum.
Yeah. Let's, yeah. So if you're there and you know, something has popped into your head during the course of the 2 days and you say, I'd like to ask a question about that or make a comment about that, there's the opportunity to do that. So again, this is wildlife as a public resource. The commission is our policy making group and they do want to hear from the public, and this is a great opportunity.
How have you seen, or do you have an example of why it's important for sportsmen and anglers to make sure that they are involved in this process, that this isn't something we should, you know, kind of ignore? If the commission's coming to town, it's a great opportunity to get in there and be heard. If there's a concern, maybe there's even just a comment, hey, I'm glad you did this, and here's why type of situation.
We do hear that. We do hear people say, hey, this has been growing great, thank you, or hey, I have concerns about this. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the commission does want to hear from the public. This is the public resource. We do want folks to be involved. Come learn at these commission meetings and provide comment. It is important. They do want to hear from people. And they certainly do take all of those comments into consideration, written and verbal. So for a lot of the regulations, when they open, there's that public comment period where you can provide a written comment. So, and we talk about this with season setting, right? Like every single comment, written comment is provided to the commissioners before their meeting. But then there is also that second opportunity in person to come and visit or join via Zoom and visit. So, we try to make it as easy and convenient as possible for people to participate.
And the commission does want to hear from you, folks. So make a day of that. Run out there. Sit. Listen to the changes that are being proposed and ultimately being decided on. Probably right then and there.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So there will be several decisions made, like I said, but then also some just updates that folks might want to hear about. We provide updates to the commission on department work, and it's just pretty interesting to go and listen to.
Absolutely. And a section that I would look forward to, Stephen, is the fisheries section. I enjoy fish.
Excellent.
As a branch of the animal kingdom. So let's talk about Lake DeSchmidt, because there are some concerns out there that I don't think a lot of people knew about. I didn't know about them until discussing them with you guys this morning. And that is the lake trout population in our lake. What's happening out there?
Sure, that's correct, Floyd. So I guess I'd be kind of careful calling it an issue, I think, to start with. It's definitely a change we're seeing. For some people, it might be a welcome change, and for others, it might be a challenge and causing some issues with what they like to go fish for. But the big thing we've been documenting over the last couple of years is that lake trout numbers are really starting to increase in Lake DeSchmidt. And this can be a problem for a couple of reasons. Lake trout are a really phenomenal sport fish. They're cool. They grow to really large sizes. So we can see fish up to 60 pounds in the state.
Wow.
But that's incredible.
Yeah, they can be really great trophy fish. They're also really long lived. So fish can live up to 50 plus years. So that makes our management options a little more challenging compared to like a short lived species that we might be dealing with. So these growing numbers of lake trout, they start to make us think about what direction we want to go when we start to observe impacts to other species. So that's really why we're bringing this up, is because we might be seeing some impacts to some of the other fisheries that we have in Lake DeSmit, primarily rainbow trout and kokanee, two wildly popular fish that we manage around the state and have been pretty popular in Lake DeSmit. So rainbow trout fishery there has been cranking along for 100 years and really done well. It, like anything else, there's ups and downs. We've been in kind of a down period with that for the last few years, but it's still good. We're seeing some really good size on the rainbows we are seeing. The kokanee, however, we started stocking those really recently. It's a new addition to the fishery. We started putting those in 2019. Within a couple years, there was a lot of anglers starting to capitalize on those. They're a lot of fun to fish for. It takes some unique tackle and methods and gear to get after them, but it's quite a prize when you figure them out and get to take home a cooler full of salmon. So that was doing great for a few years. And then in the last couple years here, really, the kokanee numbers have really fallen off a cliff. Mm. And it's been frustrating for us as a department. Not only do we want to provide that for anglers, but a lot of us are anglers ourselves and really enjoyed getting after them. So throughout this process, we've been kind of watching lake trout numbers and our netting increase, and decided to take a little more of a deeper dive the last few years and really collect some more information and dial in. And it appears by everything we can measure and all the data we have so far that numbers are increasing. The other interesting part of what we're seeing with these lake trout is that a lot of the lake trout we're seeing now are younger fish, smaller fish. So of all the lakers we sampled last year, 80% of those were 20 inches or less. So we have a really strong, probably couple of year classes or age groups coming up of these younger lake trout. So it really points at this, I hate to say exploding population, but we're definitely on the growth curve right now.
It's definitely an increase.
An increase, especially from where we have been, and we might be seeing effects in these kokanee and rainbow trout as well. So.
And that's because the lake trout, as you said prior to kicking on the mics, they're an aggressive predator.
They're an excellent predator, that's right. They love eating other fish, and unfortunately we stock a lot of stock trout species that tend to be excellent prey for the lake trout. So
who doesn't love salmon, right?
That's right. Yeah.
But unfortunately it's kind of dwindling those numbers a little bit. So what do we do in this situation? Do we basically say, hey, anglers, get on out there and get some lake trout?
That is a lot of it, Floyd. We have, you know, we have quite a few options on directions we can go with this. I think a lot of our anglers in the state are familiar with like the Yellowstone Lake example, where we hire, or the federal government hires contract fishermen to go out and remove lake trout.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's a really big project. It's really expensive, and there's no end in sight. It's just a big, expensive challenge that they're going to deal with in perpetuity from what we can tell. And you spend enough money and enough time, and you can see some results. So like cutthroat trout and Yellowstone are starting to come back to some level. That's not a direction we are comfortable going here in our region right now. Like, I think where we're at with the size of Lake DeSmit, the number of anglers we have and their skill level, I really want to see our anglers start harvesting more of these lake trout. So I really think if we get folks excited about it, interested in it, buy into their fishery and help manage it, we can see some impact and some change and watch these lake trout numbers start coming back down. So one of the tools we really want to talk about with the public and how we're going to give them some methods to do that is talk about how much we increase the lake trout limit going forward. So,
and is this something that is ultimately decided by the commission, or is this something that here at the regional level we're allowed to go, okay, you can take home this many as opposed to that many?
We would ultimately come up with the recommendation and then the commission would approve that. So that's where we're at right now. We're collecting all the data we're able to so that we have our trend data and our information, our science side covered. Where we're going this summer is we're going to start talking to the public about that. We've got a survey coming out, which we can talk more about. And then we'll also have some public meetings this fall. And the goal of all that is just to keep the public in the loop, allow them their opportunity to share what they think and the direction they think we ought to go, hear their thoughts, and then ultimately, yeah, formulate a regulation that we think is appropriate, meets the needs for this challenge, and then we take that to the commission.
Okay. So a survey, you touched on that. Is this being compiled right now, or when will it be available?
Sure. Yeah, we're really hoping we can launch the survey next week. It could be 2 weeks out, but we are getting very close. We've got pretty much all of the pieces in place. We've been playing with that quite a bit the last few weeks. It's a really brief survey. It's only 8 or 9 questions. It's going to be email-based, and we're going to keep it pretty local, so we're sending it out to folks that hold current fishing licenses in Johnson, Sheridan, and Campbell counties. So if you carry a license in those counties, and if you have an email address tied to your Game and Fish account, watch your email here in the next week or two, and please complete that survey if you fish at DeSmit and want to share your opinion on it. We're going to ask folks like how much they fish there, maybe what they target, what they feel is valuable in the lake, and really try to gauge how folks are using the reservoir now and in which direction we should be going with it in the future. So,
all right. So folks, if you've got a fishing license, you've got an email tied to your account, expect that survey within 2 weeks, probably.
For sure.
At the max. Make sure you get that done. I like the idea of having Kokanee out there. I've always felt that this was probably one of the more successful programs when it comes to introducing a fish species, and Kokanee are pretty. Let's just say it for what it is. It's a pretty fish, and it's really neat to know that this is probably, gosh, it's one of the only locations you can fish Kokanee within our entire region, if I remember correctly. And we don't want that. Well, it's not going to disappear, but we don't want those numbers going down because, you know, we need those Kokanee in there to get bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. And Lake DeSmit grows some really nice Kokanee when we're able to keep them in there. A 20-inch fish is not out of the question. And that's a couple pound salmon you get to run down the road and catch. So it's really neat. And that's part of what makes this challenge so difficult for us is, you know, Lake DeSmit is a diverse fishery. We've got lake trout, but we also have this long standing tradition of rainbow trout. There's wild brown trout. There's yellow perch. There's the pesky, illegally introduced walleye that we're still dealing with. So as you have this greater number of species and a more diverse fishery, you end up attracting different groups of anglers. And that's where these decisions get tough for us and where we really value this public opinion is trying to weigh all these different wants and needs from our public and trying to do what's best for them, but also for the resource and the habitat.
Absolutely. Well, Christina, Stephen, I've run out of time with both of you. Stephen, thanks for coming in this morning. It's
this
always a
great
pleasure talking with you guys.
Thank you, Floyd.
Got your fingers in these important pies out there. And again, Lake DeSmit, such a fantastic resource, bringing in anglers looking for all different kinds of species to have fun with. I'd say, folks, head on out there this weekend. You got yourself a fishing license. You got your AIS decal. You've had your inspection. Get yourself some lake trout. I think that sounds like a fun time this weekend. And thank you guys for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sundowner Lions Club. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Heard the news. Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides the range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit and a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights, yours and mine. Conservative for Congress, that's the plan. Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great, a fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman. Conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey, you cowboys. Welcome to the Sheridan Wyo Rodeo. And during Rodeo Week, Dalton's RV always dedicates his service department completely to you rodeoers. If your living quarters, trailer, or RV needs air conditioning, refrigeration, or other repairs, don't risk missing your next go-round looking for help down the road. Oh, and you can even stay at Dalton Jackalope Campground while you're in town for the Wyo. Get all fixed up, then get back to winning buckles. Dalton's RV, helping you rodeo folks keep your cool.
The Sheridan Wyo Rodeo is back in full swing, and for many of us,
this isn't our first rodeo. Law enforcement is saddling up for another Wyo Rodeo and ready to ride our local streets to enforce impaired driving laws.
Whether you're attending the street dances, rodeo, polo matches, or parade,
make wise choices, drink responsibly, establish a designated driver,
or arrange for a ride to and from activities.
As we all get back on the Wyo Rodeo horse,
make sure the ride is on your terms
and not ours.
Jet skis, wave runners, personal watercraft, they're part of summer in Wyoming. But here's what most people don't realize. They're often completely excluded from your homeowner's liability coverage. Not limited, excluded. So if someone gets hurt on your jet ski or by it, you could be on your own. Iron Valley Insurance Group helps make sure you're protected before you hit the water. Visit Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan. Make sure a great summer day doesn't turn into something much more expensive. Iron Valley Insurance Group. Forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and for our sick apart this morning, we are joined by Sundowner Lions Club member Bill Rathburn. Good morning, Bill. Welcome back, my
good
friend.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, let's just inform some folks who may not know, what is the Sheridan Sundowner Lions Club?
Well, the Sheridan Sundowner Lions Club is a member of Lions Club International, which is probably the largest service club in the world. And we're just a part of it. But we're a very, very small club. When I was first president, we used to have two Lions Clubs in Sheridan. We had the Noon Lions Club and we had the Evening Lions Club. And when I was president in sometime in the 80s, we had 120 members.
Wow.
In the Noon Club, and we had a Evening Club with maybe 30, maybe 35 members. So it was a going organization at that time. And then it started dwindling down, and finally we had to join the two clubs together, and we took the Sundowners name and kept the Noon Club's charter, because we were chartered in 1921.
Wow.
So, but anyway, we're a very small club right now. We need members real bad. I'm putting out a plea right now for members. We do a good job of taking care of sight in children, sight in adults. We do a lot of sight therapy, and classes for kids, exams for kids, K through 12. And we help with surgeries, cataract surgeries for adults as well. So we do a good job. And we have a couple fundraisers, and that's what I'm here to talk about today.
Before we touch on the fundraisers, you're involved in a couple different clubs throughout town. What inspired you to join the Sundowner, or the Lions Club?
I don't know. Well, I think it was because when I first started work at the VA, well, it was before I started work at the VA, but I can't remember. There was somebody that encouraged me to become a Lion, and I've now been a Lion for 55, 56 years or something wow. like that. So,
and in all that time, what has really kept you so heavily involved within the club itself?
I just love serving the community in some way. I, you know, serve, as you well know, I serve with the Shrine and with the Masons, and we do a lot of public service there too.
And so it's the public service component. But
the public service part is what I like.
We've got some folks coming into town. We're actually a pretty fast-growing little county, and I'm sure that those folks are looking for a way to kind of get involved in their new community. And I think Lions Club would be an excellent way for a lot of folks to get involved in a public service club and get to know a few folks, maybe even make a couple really good friends. How does somebody join the Lions Club?
Well, we meet on the summertime. We meet only once a month, but during the year, we meet at the Ramada. It'll be starting in September again. We meet on the second and the fourth Tuesdays. We start at 5:30, around 5:30 area, for just kind of get together and discussion, and then we eat at 6 o'clock. So, and we have probably 10 to 12 active members, but we have probably 20 members on our roster. That's kind of the way we operate now. So we're operating very
skeleton crew
to get a lot done and get some money to pay for what we do.
And paying for what you do is helping people with vision, a major component of the Lions Club mission. Now, one way that you get that done is the annual peach sales.
Yes.
Do those bring in quite a bit?
I don't think it's a major fundraiser. We have two fundraisers. We have the peach sales. It's one of our fundraisers. And we have the main event bike ride in the fall in September. I think we're going to be talking about that a little later.
Yeah.
But we have two fundraisers, and that brings us in enough money to pay for what we have to pay for.
Let's talk about those peach sales. Okay. When does this peach sale begin this year?
Well, this peach sale has already begun, and what we do is we take preliminary orders. We take orders for peaches that are going to come in. They'll come in sometime, we think, around the 15th or 16th of August. What we do is we have people fill out a form and pay it. We charge $45 for 20 pounds of peaches, a little over, just a hair over $2 a pound for peaches. And these peaches come from Palisades, Colorado. And they fill out a form, and we need their email address, and we need their phone number. And if we get both of those, we will email everybody when the peaches come in and where we're going to be distributing them. And we will distribute them in the same place we've done in the last couple of years. It's across the street from Albertson's. It's in that trailer park there. They allow us to come in there and set up a little place to distribute our peaches.
Now, Bill, you've been doing this for a while. What do these peaches look like?
Oh, these peaches are beautiful peaches. My wife and I canned 2 cases of them last year, and we're just about out already.
Oh, no kidding.
So we need 2 more cases again.
It's time to do it. These pretty good size, I would imagine.
They're very, very good size. Very nice big peaches from Palisades, Colorado. I think most people know about those peaches, and a lot of the people we sell peaches to are from the Colorado area. They're used to the Palisades, Colorado peaches, and
they want them back.
And they want them back again. So a lot of the people we sell to are those people.
Does she ever make you a peach pie, Bill?
Oh, does she make a peach pie?
Oh, yeah.
And peach cobbler and those things.
My wife found some rhubarb in the yard at the beginning of this season, and that's what she did. She went out, she cut some, and she made me a rhubarb strawberry pie, and I haven't had that since I was a little kid. It was fantastic. Now, $45 for 20 pounds of peaches. That's quite a bit as far as peaches go. 20 pounds of peaches, that's you'd have to can those,
yep.
Or you'd have to invite the neighborhood over.
You have to can them, or you can also freeze peaches. You can cut them up and put them in the freezer and use them later to make peach pies, peach cobbler, etc. So they're you don't have to eat them all at once. You can eat as many as you want and then freeze the rest.
Now, I might end up having to get a few cases from you myself, Bill, because I know if we had them in the house, my wife would take care of them. I got an issue with pie, Bill. All right. Last year, pears were unavailable. There was some crop damage due to a storm.
Due to a frost.
Yeah. And now this year,
that frost, for some reason, has also inhibited the pears. We're not going to get pears again this year.
Man.
From that same place.
That's tough.
And we're really sorry about that because so many people want pears.
Yeah. When I think about heading to the store, I usually don't see too many pears. That would be nice to get, but you can't control that. Now, how can folks place an order with you?
We're going to do several things to get orders. First of all, we're going to be at the third Thursday. We were at last third Thursday. We're going to be at this third Thursday in July, which is July 16th, I believe. And then we're going to be at the farmer's markets on Thursday. Those farmer's markets that don't include the third Thursday is on the 23rd, the 30th, and August 6th. We're going to be at the farmer's market. So they can get them there then. And also one of our members is from Ranchester, and she's going to be at the Ranchester farmer's market on Wednesday the 15th from 4:30 to 6:30. So she's going to have peaches there. And you know, if people really can't get to any of those, they can always mail us at the Sheridan Sundowner Lions Club, post office box 319, Sheridan, Wyoming 82801. And if they just tell us what they want, make sure they give their email address and their phone number so we can get a hold of them afterwards, send in their $45, we will certainly get a box of peaches for them.
All right, fantastic. Bill, one thing that I wanted to talk about, sometimes some folks are like, boy, I don't like peaches, but I'd sure like to help the Lions Club. Are there other ways that folks can help out with the Lions Club mission outside of purchasing peaches?
Well, they could ride bike in our main event bike ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could do that. That would help us out. And we have that main event bike ride on September 19th this year. And it's growing each year. We're going to talk about that at another time. And Eric will be here and
fantastic.
Talk about it at that time. And he's the one that's really running it, and he knows much more about it than I do.
Okay. Well, what would you, is there anything that you would tell folks to remember about the peach sale that we haven't already discussed, or just to make sure that they know?
I can't think of anything. Like I say, we're in our fourth year of selling peaches. It seems to be growing each year.
That's good. Yeah.
And I think maybe last year we sold, I can't remember how many boxes, but we sold quite a few. And what I want to tell people is make sure they pay attention to their email and get down there, because we did have to phone a lot of people that didn't show up by the afternoon. So make sure they pay attention to their email and come down and get them when we email them. But make sure they give us their phone number also.
Just in case,
so that we can call them and let them know that their peaches are in.
Well, folks, make sure you get that email. Check that spam. You never know. If you're not getting an email, you purchase some peaches, check your spam. It might go in there. If you don't answer that, Bill and his folks are going to give you a call. These are the peaches that you want to have for pies over the winter. Bill, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, my friend. It's always a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you so much, Floyd.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stop China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down. And neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
On July 18th, the Bighorn Mountain Snowmads All-Season Recreation is having a poker ride followed by a silent auction fundraiser. Early registration at Arrowhead Lodge from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday night. Registration and the poker ride starts at 9 a.m. at Bear Lodge Resort. 100% payback. Poker ride route is very easy and designed for all abilities. For more information, find Snowmads on Facebook.
Why pack for vacation when your Y-O-cation is waiting right here in Sheridan County? Sheridan Travel and Tourism presents the Y-O-cation Staycation Sweepstakes. Explore the breathtaking Bighorn Mountains with an experienced guide. Relax in a cozy cabin at Spiro Wigwam. Enjoy horseback riding. Then head back to town for a movie, cool off at Kendrick Park Pool, and top it all off with an ice cream from Scoops. It's the perfect Sheridan County getaway. See the prizes and enter to win on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.